Tonight, I'm turning to the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. The Gospel of Luke chapter 9, I'll read to you verse 23. And he said to them, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And my subject tonight is Christian self-denial. This subject, I've treated it some years ago, about 2 years ago, but I want to go back to it again with fresh thoughts and all that. And so tonight our subject is Christian self-denial. And the first part of our text, which is, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's what I want to consider. The second part also has, I treated that one. So we are thinking of the commands of Christ to believers. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. So here's one of the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ to all who will be his disciples. To everyone who, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you look at his manners and his sayings, he doesn't hide what it takes to be a Christian to his disciples. Despite they follow him and everything, he comforts them, but he shows them what it takes to really be his disciples. You see that even his sufferings, though the disciples were having difficulty bearing it, Christ, Peter has even taken it and tried to tell him, oh, not to think about that, it will not happen to him at all. And yet he went on to tell them he has to die. He has to be betrayed, and that few days he will die, and that he also tell he will rise up again. So whatever he wants us to know about what it takes to be a Christian, he tells us, and it is us our duty to also learn, and to help us to walk with him in joy and in comfort as Christians. So this command is to those he has purchased with his own blood, those who have felt the saving power by faith in him, those who have known him, not just by having his name, ideas about him in their head, but those that have felt his saving power. You know, salvation is a purchase. Christ's blood purchases us from the slavery of sin and from the bondage to sin to bring us to God, to make us his purchase possessed. So the Church of Christ, the believers, the body of believers, true believers are those Christ has purchased. And the idea of purchase is what everybody protects and keeps that he has purchased. And everybody owns what he has purchased. So Christ owns believers. And that he directs us how we will be able to be comfortable and joyful and peaceful as we walk with him. So those who have come to him by faith, when by repentance of sin, they resign all their will to him. So it's salvation, coming to Christ. We believe in him, we trust in his blood, but to resign all our will to his hand. We only want to live as he wants us to live. So no one will be a faithful follower of Christ who will not deny himself. If we are not able to deny ourselves, we can never begin at all to be true Christians, and not to talk of walking with Christ daily in life. We must lose self to gain Christ. That's the thing. Where self rules, Christ cannot reign. And where self Christ cannot reign, when fleshly desires and we want me and I rules, Christ cannot reign. Christ must rule and rule in every part of us. And every genuine Christian must know this. And as we learn the Bible, it tells us more how everything must be given up to him. But sadly, many Christians today who claim to be Christians, yet they are strangers to this doctrine of self-denial, which the Lord has established for us. And I think the problem is the kind of gospel nowadays is being peddled. Even among many so-called evangelicals, they think salvation is repentance, maybe changing just your ideas about Christ, about God, and embracing him in their mind, that's all. They take away repentance. Repentance does not save us, but it's something that makes us willing to embrace Christ. Because repentance will let us turn from our sinful ways. So, I think there's even some theological schools that are even undermining the concept of repentance. This is basically just believing in Christ. So that is why some preachers will just say, oh, say after me, after you have, and that is all. Just change your mind about Christ, and that is all. Or about God, and that is all. But those who have deeply repented of sin knows that it's not, and I really believe in Jesus Christ, knows that it's not just changing my, yes, that's a, we have to change our ideas about God and Christ and embrace the truth, but we have to give ourselves to Him. So by repentance, then when we are saved, we're able to give ourselves to Him. So if people are saved by just thinking they change their ideas about Christ, they cannot practice self-denial. They cannot live up themselves. They cannot live their old ways and learn the ways of Christ. So that is all. I think the cheap way of salvation these days, which the preachers don't tell people that they need to repent, have a conscious repentance, know what they have done and really seek to turn from their evil ways, sinful, and know themselves as sinners. If people are not aware of it and they think they are saved, it's a false way, and they can never practice self-denial. You can never. So this kind of fault comes from this way of salvation. But let's remember, all who take Christ's name and do not practice self-denial can never be genuine. If I am a Christian and I'm not able to deny myself to obey Him, but we all have to labor. It's a struggle because we love self. We love the thing that our flesh enjoys. So it's not an easy thing, but it's what a Christian is brought into so that he can have full fellowship with Christ. Self-denial is the mark of our new birth. It's one of the ways that tells us that we are struggling to obey Christ by letting go of self. It's one of the signs that we have life, the spirit life in us. Well, the struggle will go on. It's a fruit which must be produced out of the new nature. The one who thinks that he has believed in Christ, but he never repented, and just having that idea in his mind without any change of heart, without any conversion, without having any experience of the new birth, he doesn't have any sense of self-denial. There's nothing that pushes him to think that I am under restraint to live under the commands of Christ. So you see, if we are genuinely saved, self-denial will follow after it. It's difficult, but then we want to conform to Christ. And then, that's why the pain. We want to conform to Him. So we cry so that the Lord will grant us grace to be able to do so. So, biblical self-denial is strange to the hypocrite Christian. He dislikes it. He doesn't, he will not submit to it. And he will even make a mockery of it, if maybe not by his labor, his actions. But to the true believer, it enables him to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. The sinful things in the world, apart from our sinful heart, all the corruption, everything that is not doesn't want to come under the dominion of God, of Christ, it is self-denial that is able to help us to overcome such things. The world wants to live against God. They want to have their way in entertainment, in everything, but God. But then, self-denial helps the believer to escape this corruption. Because the more we deny ourselves the world, then the more we're able to get rid of the corruptions in the world one by one from our lives. So true Christians are those who endeavor to constantly practice self-denial, knowing that, as we are told in Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. Those that are Christ have crucified, they have, they are dead to their personal desires. Isn't it not strange? This is me and my own nature, the things I like, which are sinful. They say those that are in Christ have crucified their affections. They have killed it. They have stamped it so that it will not have influence over them. They affect the desires and the sinful lust. Those that are in Christ have. It's not that. Something they are ignorant of. They have crucified. That's what it takes. Those that are Christian have crucified their affections and their lusts. So in sincerity, we employ ourselves in conformity to the Lord. We undertake to follow Him in dying to self as He, as our Master, has commanded us. He Himself led such a life, despising everything in the world. Even for Him, even good things of the world, He despised them. And self-denial sometimes goes even to that, not only sinful things, things, they may be good, but since they are hindrance to our service to the Lord, we are led to deny them. Again, there is no complete victory for the believer yet, because when we are saved, we still have our fleshly lust within us. The old man, the Bible sometimes says, the old man, the old nature is still there. So that, there's also another thought that says that when you are saved, the old man is dead. It's not true. The Bible tells us, and every true believer knows that, the old sinful lust is still there, but then we have the power to overcome it. Fleshly affections and lust will be still troubling us, but they must not reign over us to obey them in the last thereof, as we are told in Romans, that we should not obey our lust, we should not obey our sin in the last thereof, we should not give ourselves to it. The desires are there, but we are not supposed to. And how are we not? How can we not obey them? Except we deny ourselves, and we don't want to make ourselves to enjoy ourselves. So such conflict in us will be with us while we are in this body and in this world. So the conflict will continue. And I used to listen to a song. It said that this battle will continue till we meet the Lord. The conflict against sin will meet the Lord. So our victory over the flesh in our current state is only through continual practice of self-denial, while we look for that day when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, in Romans 15:54. When sin, so 1 Corinthians 15:54. When sin is done away, when we have met Christ, when this body is done. So those that are dead, as we have ceased from sin, those immediately we die, flesh dies, also dies. But while we are here, we have to continue to battle with this. And it's self-denial that will help us to be able to win this battle. Yes, we have prayer. And if we don't deny ourselves, prayers will not save us anywhere. If we don't deny ourselves, studying the Bible will not take us anywhere. We can steadily pray. If we are not willing to deny the sinful self, we can never have any power over our sins. So I move to what it is meant by self-denial. Deeply, it is the mortification of the works of the flesh, simply as that. The desires, the works of the Bible calls the works of the flesh. In Colossians chapter 3, 5, 8 to 10, we are told that mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. This is believers. Mortify, meaning believers to have indwelling sin. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. The members are not the physical body. The sinful members of our body. The sinful. I mean, sin has so many parts in us. Fornication, he names them. Uncleanness, inordinate affection. That is sinful appearances which comes to ginger us to so that we move to sin. Inordinate affection. Everything that excites us to do evil. Evil concupiscence. Evil lust. Yes, we have concupiscence for good. I mean, there's a portion of that, but this one, the evil part, the thing that last desire that will move us to do evil. And covetous, like this greediness, the Bible even tells us, which is idolatry. And he adds, but now you also put all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with it is. So, how can we do this if we don't deny ourselves? We have to mortify these things. We have to mortify lies, wrath, anger, fornication, any evil appearance where we have to. How can we if we don't deny ourselves? Because self wants some of these things to be okay. So, the same person is not immune from fleshly sins. As I've already said, that we are not, we still have our sinful self for that. Lust and temptation to sin becomes our daily battle which we must combat. And we must always prepare ourselves to destroy them with a conscious effort. One thing, people think also that, yes, I'm practicing self-denial, but self-denial comes with a conscious effort. We have to be mindful that you are in a battle. No soldier goes to war not knowing that he's in the battle. So self-denial is a battle against sin. A spiritual battle. You see, and we have to be conscious. We have to be mindful of our warfare daily. We should not be off guard. Everything that will take us off guard should be we see it as an obstacle. So we identify each fleshly lust in us and eradicate it, and to mortify it. So it is up to us. Each one of us have our besetting sins. We have to always know where we can fall into sin. So we identify them, these fleshly lusts, and eradicate them. By how do we do? By starving sinful desires, which is within already. Our heart will call for. Even if we have not encountered anything outside, our heart itself is always producing evil desire. But because we are Christians, we have the spiritual part of us, which reminds us to check it. But an unbeliever doesn't have this help. So it comes and it helps to satisfy it. So we have to starve that sinful desire by not entertaining sinful thoughts. How do we starve our lust? Because the doorway to our to self, to lust, is the thought. When that thought comes into my mind and I entertain it, then the desire will also flow. So if we are able to guard our thoughts, we don't entertain everything that comes, we clear it off, ask for grace and pray against it, and the Lord helps us to weaken the strength or the influence of it, then we are able to serve the sinful self. But if it comes and we are happy with it, it will come to us. And also avoiding all appearances of sin from around us. How we are starving within, whatever we also, especially our eyes or our ears or whatever comes through that, we must also serve that. And these days, maybe those who lived maybe 100 years ago had their outer sin that they battled with. But as today, one of the greatest sinful appearances often is found on social media. There's so much corruption there. Many things are put there. And people, sometimes you'll be maybe doing something and it will just pop up. And now there's lottery and other things, they just send it to you. And if you are not mindful and you have somebody who have done lottery before, then your mind is drawing to that and all that. And other form of evil thing, on the televisions, the movies, are full of sinful appearances to attract us. It's part of us. So it is us to be able to be careful how we use these things so that the sinful part of it will not affect us. Because just as we are using them, Satan will use them to attract us in any one way or the other. So we have that one of the greatest appearances of sin in our time today, the social media, the TV, the movies, and many. But somebody who can stay in a secluded place, but television, internet, everything will let him have access to every free thing imaginable. But then, one of the blessings of conversion is that we have been given spiritual strength to assist us in obeying this command. Yet, there are so many things around and we have to fight it, but the believer has a spiritual strength. In Philippians 2:13, we are not fighting by our own selves. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Sometimes we might think, oh, how can I be so much careful? It is God that works in us. The Spirit of God that gives us the grace. If we are willing and we set our mind that we are fighting against evil appearances, the Lord will help us. And he'll remind us. And he'll also give us that judgment that when they appear, he'll prompt us to avoid them. So it's the strength that we have from the Lord. So remember in time, I don't know if people are still doing it today, those who live in ascetic life, in church history, in the monasteries and secluded places, and they confine themselves to austere life, and they think they are practicing self-denial. They are starving themselves and doing all forms of things against their body. But you know, the Christian convent, the monastery, is in the heart where sin dwells. It's not the way we put the body, but in the heart. If we want to seclude ourselves from sin, it's in the heart. It's not our physical putting ourselves in a secluded place that makes us to deny ourselves and to put ourselves in a stress. No, it's in the heart. That's where we have to secured there so that sin doesn't come there. So the genuine Christian carries along with him self-denial while he conducts his affairs in the midst of this sinful world. While I go to school, while I go to work, while I go to the market, while I go to wherever, the Christian carries along with him his self-denial. In doing everything, he processes them, which things that against the Lord, which things I have to distance myself. So self-denial does not exempt any from interacting with the world. It's not that when I talk to people, I cannot talk to people because I want to keep my conversation pure. No. I have to talk to people, but then I have to check my conversation. And even when people revile me, I have to check I don't, because the Bible says we should not revile back. And many, many other things. So it is up to us. We have to interact with the world. Yes, there are something we have to avoid, but then generally we have to interact with the world. But what we are doing is we keep ourselves under control while we go through our normal business of life. The kind of self-denial that the ascetics, those who go to the monasteries and I do, is hypocritical and lazy and unprofitable. Somebody says it's like a religious asylum where people are kept against their will, lest they break forth and do evil. You see how we keep mad people at the asylum? Why? Because so that we know that when they come out, they will mess up. So the asylum, the monasteries which they had, it's like we keep the people here. If they go to the world, they will sin. That's the picture. But you see, but the Bible does not call us to live in Christians to live in secluded places so that sin will not affect. Sin is not how we prevent sin. We prevent sin from the heart. And if we're able to prevent sin from the heart, we can go anywhere unaffected. So that a monastic life elevates human pride and denies the very power the Holy Spirit supplies to the believer, arming them to overcome the stronghold of sin. You see, that kind of secluded life doesn't help sin. But the 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, we are told that for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are spiritual. It's a battle in the mind where we are battling. It's not, and that's where we also the Spirit helps us when we are willing to submit our minds to the Spirit, to the influences of the Spirit, and we give ourselves to Him. There are other people also that have this form of self, and I'm sure even this they think of it as a merit of salvation. Those who think they think that they have to follow the Old Testament dietary laws that you don't eat this meat, you don't eat this food, and as if that will keep them pure. You know, even the Jewish people that God gave, the purpose was to show them that wasn't the actual thing that kept them, holy before God, but it showed them things that appear impure. So people also think that when they deny some foods and other things then or drinks, and then they are also practicing self-denial. No. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, we are told that for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not about material things. Yeah, we have to exercise restraint in the use of the material things. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not about food and drinks. It's not about abstaining or not abstaining. It's not about me, I eat that or I don't eat that. It's about having Christ righteous and living in a righteous life, having that peace with God and living a life on this earth as peacemaker, and also having our joy in the Holy Spirit, not in joy, our joy in worldly things. That's the Christian life. That's what we seek to pursue. Having a life that pleases God, because our life is in Christ. It's not that we try to practice food, deny ourselves with food and other things, we think we are better. Some people think that when they practice that, then they are better Christians. No, abstaining from food and other things. Okay, so I move on to another branch of my topic, and why self-denial for the Christian? We have seen that self-denial is to the denial of the sinful self. So why is it for the Christian? It has so many benefits, and it promotes so many Christian virtues. The first thing that we practice self-denial because it helps the Christian to live in contentment always. It helps the Christian to live in satisfaction. Christian contentment is being able to live cheerfully in every condition of life, and patiently and quietly submit to the will of God in times of adversity. So you see, when Christian practices self-denial, it helps in times where we have to submit our will to the will of God, even if we don't like it. Because self wouldn't like it, but then if we practice self-denial, when the time comes that we have to submit to a particular command of God, which will create inconvenience for us, we'll have the heart to do so. Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:11, "For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Self-denial is something to be learned. You see, to become a Christian virtue, we have to learn each one of them. So Christian is a school. It's a disciple. He learns from Christ. So Paul said, "I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Contentment must be learned. It doesn't come to us just like, no, we have to be learned, and we grow in that. Something that we have to constantly practice to achieve. We have to grow in it. As we know, life is like the weather; it changes as it pleases. There are times of bounty, and there are also times of deprivation. Times that we have made plenty, and we have enough income, or enough profit, or enough gains. There are times also that we are deprived of them, so that even sometimes they are not able to maybe satisfy us. So the practice of self-denial in times of plenty will prove useful also in times of adversity, where if we deny, we restrain ourselves in not abusing the use of our earthly possessions, we'll be able to also deny ourselves in the vain enjoyment which worldly possession inside. When we're able to use our worldly possessions by not making them the object of our joys and our hopes and everything, then the worldly possession can never move us to have unnecessary joy or unnecessary pleasures, which will cause us, whenever these things are taken from us, then we are in a distress. Because when we have the plenty, we are able to restrain ourselves not to make it an object of pleasure, not to make them something that we rest our hopes in. So when they are denied, when we don't have them, because we're able to restrain ourselves in their use, when we don't have them, it doesn't really affect us. But no matter who we are, even if we are Christians and we foolishly give ourselves, to have that joy, when we are denied, they will affect us, and then we begin to not be happy in our Christian life. So that when times we are deprived of them, even when life is even terrified, we shall still find our contentment in Christ. We shall be happy that we have Christ, despite everything is gone from us. So for those who have pleasures in abundance in things, I had the same, who will be sorrowful when such things are deprived of. When I have plenty, I'm happy. When I'm losing, I will not be happy. You show me a discontented Christian, and I will show you a Christian that has failed to practice self-denial. Show me a Christian complaining about adversity, and I will show you that Christian has never, or he has stopped practicing self-denial. Because if we practice a time of deprivation, we will not be complaining. We will rather look up to the Lord to help us, because we have obeyed Him, and it is He who gives us the joy. So we must make self-denial our conscious effort, so that we may know Christian contentment. You see, it leads to many things. Christian contentment, we will know it when we are able to deny ourselves. As Apostle Paul said, "I have learned." How did he learn it? By denying himself. If you read the history of Apostle Paul, how he said sometimes hunger, nakedness, want, so many things that he sometimes said that he has suffered. So you see, he has to go through all this to learn to be content, so that whatever state he is, he will not complain. He knows that the Lord has willed that he should have it. Because indeed, whatever state we are, it's the Lord's will, whether we have enough or not. But for us to accept it is when we have practiced self-denial. Else, it will be hard for us to accept it, because we think it's not right for us to be affected with that thing. The next thing also under this is that Christians must practice self-denial because self is an enemy of Christ. Self is an enemy of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, we are told, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither in it can be. Our own nature, it cannot submit to God. Even as a Christian, our own nature cannot submit to God. Not the sinner, even their own nature. If we are not subduing it, it will not submit. It will make us disobey God. It will make us disobey God. Our flesh always does things that are against God's law. You know, and Satan knows it and always takes advantage of this. He knows that our sinful flesh desires things which God doesn't please. So he takes advantage of this and makes us to dishonor the Lord. So a Christian sometimes dishonors the Lord when Satan tricks us, and because he knows that the old nature will never submit to God. So he will it's like a doorway for him to come if we don't stand against it by practicing self-denial, to deny self of any interest, self and how self will draw us to sinful things. For instance, how does sin enter into the human race? Our first priority, because they prefer self, they prefer to please themselves against God's command. Even in that pure state, when they give themselves to self, when again they have not sinned, you see, Satan knew that whenever man promotes himself, he will fall, he will sin against God. And he incited them. And when they were to ask for themselves, when they followed themselves, they sin against God. So you see, whenever self is not checked, we fall and we fall into sin and we disobey God. Self is the idol which can only be overcome by denying it its vain demands. We only overcome our idol self, which we cherish much, by denying it the vain demands, the sinful demands that it calls for, the suggestions, the vain desires of our heart. When we are able to deny it, then we are able to get hold of ourselves. Self is the foundation of human pride. You know, pride blinds the heart. When we are lifted up with pride, we are not able to think right. And our desires are also wrong, because everything we desire is for self. And then at the end of the day, we sin against God. So self is the foundation of human pride, and it must be denied so that we will not be proudful. We can never think of not being proudful when self is not denied. We shall be proudful. No matter what we say, pride will grow in us and we dishonor the Lord until we have denied ourselves of that admiration and the dignity it calls for. Look at sinners. Sinners, unrepentant sinners, will not repent because they love themselves in place of God. That's the main thing. Christ always tells. They love whatever pleases self in the place of God. So they cannot repent. They love their sin continuing in it. So they can never repent. And also for Christians, become less useful when self is honored against Christ. Our Christian usefulness will be affected when we desire things for ourselves and while it stands in competition with the command to obey Christ, when we desire for ourselves, we dishonor Christ. So you see, self is a great enemy to our walk in holiness, to our Christian walk, which, if it is not denied, we can never really please Christ, because we rather please the enemy of our souls. We rather please him, please ourselves against Christ. And it's interesting, self is us. But how can you deny? But we have what it takes to deny. Another thing is that Christians must practice self-denial because it helps in Christian separation. We are commanded to separate from sinful influence and also persons and everything that is sinful. How can we separate ourselves? How can we separate ourselves from the sinful culture, the fashion of the world, the sinful fashion of the world, the culture, the lifestyle of the world, and sinful friends, and entertainment of the world? if we don't deny ourselves. Because while we are in this world, before we were converted, we were living. Apostle Paul told the Colossians that you were like this, you were in this state, but now you have been brought from such a state. And we were like that. The culture of the world, the fashion, the evil friends, and all the entertainment of the world. So a Christian cannot bear to separate if self is not denied. Because these are the things that we are connected to. But with Christian self, proper self-denial, we're able to separate ourselves from this and then honor the Lord. Let us remember the love of worldly entertainment, the worldly music, the movies, even nowadays, sports have become so much evil. There's so much, it promotes so much evil nowadays. Everything in these things, music, movies, whatever, that are against Christian separation, must be denied. We must not entertain ourselves with it so that it will move us to, promote ourselves, to give pleasure to self so that we are not able to separate ourselves from them. As I already said, even the good things of the world must be used with restraint. Because if we give ourselves to them, even though they are good, they may be one day be a hindrance against our obedience to the Lord. Self always excuse us for not separating from our sinful friends, family relations, and friends that are ungodly. Self always give an excuse. Oh, because he or she is this to me. Yes, that person, maybe that particular person has bad influence. And yes, because of the advantages of self, we have an excuse to move on with such and such. But we are supposed to separate. That's what the Bible tells us, that we have to separate from all sinful influences that comes to us. Another reason is that Christians must practice self-denial because self produces fear against our friends. Self produces fear against sufferings. The love of self will cause us not to bear sufferings as Christians. Believers are told in Philippians 1:29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Christians are suffering for Christ is part of our Christian calling. How can we suffer if we don't deny ourselves? Self always makes us feel that sufferings are unbearable. It is too much. You have suffered so much. Why do you give yourself so much because you think you are a Christian or what? Why are you restricting yourself so much? Self always makes us feel that sufferings are unbearable. And that you deserve better than the sufferings you are going through because of your obedience. Then the heart begins to complain against every discomfort of life. When self is not denied, the heart will complain even when you are practicing self-denial, the heart will try to move you. But because you have been practicing it, when such situation comes, you're able to say no to self. I have to submit to Christ. I have to obey him. Suffering is part of my duty. But then Christ has promised grace to me that if I come for grace, he will support me. So I would rather look for Christ and his grace than to listen to self, so that I'll complain against suffering. And as we know, every complaint against suffering are against God. Who orders sufferings into our lives is God. So while we complain against the suffering, we are complaining against God. Remember the Israelites in the wilderness. Do you know why God was angry with them along the line? Because they were complaining. They were not willing to obey where God. Indeed, there were difficulties in the wilderness. Test, hunger, and maybe, but they were roaming all around, and sometimes they have become fed up with the journey. And self will tell them, why all this stress? And sometimes they complain, we have better life in Egypt. Yeah, when they were in slavery, but because the wilderness life seems to them unbearable. So you wonder how God took notice of their complaints, that it is against him that they are complaining against, and that they are stubborn, and the words used against them that along the line, God said he will destroy them. So, complaints against suffering, Christians, we are told that everything that comes into our life are ordered by the Lord. Whether so-called, we call good or bad. So, whenever we complain against our situation, it's not we complain against God. Whether it's through somebody's doing or whatever it is, we should rather turn to the Lord and ask for grace to help us bear it than to turn ourselves again the situation and become discontent. Because when we complain, we feel discontent in our heart, and then Satan gets hold of us. Whenever we give away ourselves to complaints and these things, Satan gets hold of us, then we begin to pour in all the doubts and fears, and then he begins to work all so that we now begin to disobey the Lord, so that we find bypass away from our suffering. We become anxious of this life when self is not denied. We become so much anxious, thinking of how life should be and how we want to make, we want to have life, because self wants to have so-called better things of life. It doesn't want to be grateful to what the Lord has brought to life. So may we not give in to ourselves. Let us always have in mind, as Christians, we have to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as we surrender completely to him, we are able to also surrender completely to his service. So Christian self-denial is a great thing to do, and something that when we do, we will never fear that we lose our reputation, our comfort, our income when we give ourselves to Christian service. But while we are not able to do so, while we are trying to, we have difficulties, want to obey the Lord, then self will try to tell us, no, we'll have losses, we'll lose our reputations, and we'll lose our comfort. Have some comfort for yourself, have some time for yourself, and leave the work of the Lord. It's too much. That's what self will tell us. And then when we listen to self, we become disobedient to the Lord. We are not able to obey him. And Christ knew this when he said that, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Because he knew that self competes with the Christian life, with the life of righteousness. Self will let us disobey him. So he said it clear. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Before I come to conclusion, I want to read to you 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And it just tell us of what I've just been saying. It says that, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We can only obey not to love the world when we daily practice self-denial. If we are not practicing self-denial, we can never do the will of God. We will do it half-heartedly. Self-denial is a difficult thing, but we have the joy of the Spirit to help us, and that we have tasted the grace of God. We have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and his commands must be obeyed, and we have that delight in him. That's why we say that if people are not genuinely converted, they will never have a delight to obey the Lord's commands. But if we are genuinely converted, though difficult it is to deny self, when we look at what the Lord has done for us, we have the joy to submit ourselves to this, and then be cleared from all these hindrances that surround us. If we are able to deny ourselves, we'll have our joy in the Christian world. And we'll have that heart that is fully given to the Lord. And as Peter, Apostle Paul said, Lord, what will you have me to do? That is what the Christian who is willing to deny himself asks the Lord daily. Lord, what will you have me to do? Not that, Lord, it's hard. So help, bring me maybe different things. No, what will you have me to do? And what I'm doing, I want to do it more for the honor of Christ. So may the Lord help us as we think through what it is to practice self-denial. And may he help us so that we'll be able to practice it and to fight against our indwelling sin and to suppress it and indeed mortify our sinful self for the honor of Christ. Shall we?